Happy holidays to you.
Christmas Day 2007. Merry Christmas, everyone, from the Jerry Pippin Show.
From Coney Island to the Sunset Strip, somebody's gonna make a happy trip tonight while the moon is bright. He's gonna have a bag of crazy toys to give the cornies of the girls and boys. So day Santa comes on big, he'll come a calling when the snow's the most, when all your cats are sleeping warm as toast, and you gonna flip with old Saint Nick and raise a lick on a peppermint stick. He'll come a flying from a higher place, fill the stocking by the fireplace, so you have a Yuletide snooze. Sunset Strip, somebody's gonna make a happy trip tonight while the moon is bright. He's gonna have a bag of crazy toys to give the cornies of girls and boys. So dig, Santa comes on big. Come calling when the snow's the most, cats are sleeping warm as toast, and you gonna flip when the old Saint Nick plays a lick on the peppermint stick. He'll come a-flying from the higher place, fill the stockings by the fireplace. So you ever use that school? Ever use that school? Yeah,
that was Louis Armstrong, and a little different opening for a Christmas special. Today, on our Christmas special, we'll take a look back at radio, the golden years, with a couple of programs, one from a dramatic show called Grand Central Station, called Miracle on Christmas, and before that, we're going to have a little bit of Amos and Andy. Remember Charles Correll and Freeman Gosden, the original Amos and Andy on radio? Well, if you're too young to remember them, you're in for a treat. Here it is.
Oh, boy, have I got a present for some G.I. guy. I've got Lena Horne all wrapped up, and I'm going to deliver her to some lonesome PFC overseas. Will he be surprised?
It's the night before Christmas. The whole camp's asleep. Then up comes Santa Claus, jiving in on his Jeep. But wait. It's not as quiet as it would seem. Awake in his tent is PFC Eddie Green.
Ah, oh, me, it's Christmas. Not even a fireplace in this shelter half. Oh, well, I hang my stocking on the tent pole. Maybe somebody dropped about 50 points in it. Yeah, I remember when my mother put an orange in my stocking. For a whole week, I walked with a squish. You know, maybe if I really believed in Santa Claus, I'd get that bicycle what I want with the saddle seat. Okay. I, what are you? Well, something stirring. Now, that's either sleigh bells or the cook is banging them Spam cans again.
Hello, hello, hello. Merry Christmas, Private Santa, Eddie.
Well, what you know? It's Santa Claus. How was your trip from the North Pole, Santa?
Oh, just fine. Had a little sled trouble.
No, huh?
Yeah, one of my front deer went flat.
Oh, God.
Now, what would you like for Christmas?
Well, just what every soldier would like, set right down on his lap.
And what would every soldier like, set right down on his lap?
Something round and fluffy and kind of curved down right in there. And it's very sweet.
You mean?
Yeah, angel food cake.
Well, my boy, I brought you something that you like.
That's nice.
This is your package.
Now, that is good. Some package. And so nicely wrapped.
Now, you mustn't open it until Christmas morning.
No.
No.
That's mean I can't even loosen the wrappings.
No, no. If you do, I'll come back and get it.
You will.
Well, so long. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, all gone. That's a swell looking bundle, I'll tell you. I wonder if it is cookies? No, it ain't cookies. Big enough to be a bicycle, I guess. That could be the round fenders there. I guess I open it. Great! Look over here. It's a Lena Horn mama doll, ain't that nice? Yeah, it'd be good if when I squeeze it, it say mama.
Oh, Daddy.
Well, that's good enough.
Eddie, put your arms around me.
Yeah.
Hold me tight. Mm. And kiss me.
This is a talking doll with ideas. Yeah.
Come on, kiss me.
This is a persistent doll, too. Okay, now. Man, what they can do with sawdust nowadays, huh?
Eddie, I'm not a doll. I'm really Lena Horne.
Lena Horne? No, I can't believe that. No, Santa Claus dropping Lena Horne right in my lap?
Now, isn't this just the nicest Christmas you ever had?
No, last year we had a tree.
Eddie, please, I don't think you quite realize that I'm here with you and all alone.
Yeah, a little hard to believe. You see, this sort of thing usually don't happen to nobody lower than a corporal, you know.
But it really has, Eddie. This is Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm your present. What more could you want?
A bicycle with a saddle seat on it.
Eddie, huh. Christmas is the time for love.
Hey, what's going on here? So you opened the package, Eddie?
Well, yes, sir, but I'm sorry, Mr. Santa Claus.
Well, I told you not to open the package till Christmas. I'm taking that doll back to the North Pole with
me. Wait, but Santa Claus, that ain't no real doll. See, it puts its arm around you and kisses you.
Puts its arms around you and kisses you?
That's what I said, yeah. Well, Santa Claus, look. Will you be bringing me something nice again next Christmas?
Well, if this doll does what you say, I may never leave the North Pole again. Merry Christmas!
From the golden age of radio, Amos and Andy, while we're playing old-time radio shows, let's go back to 2001 and my Christmas Eve show.
Tonight, I'm telling you why, Santa Claus, yes, Santa Claus, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Holiday 1490 KBIX. Well, you know, that Santa Claus coming to town thing always had a great memory for me over these years. I have three sisters. We all grew up here in Muskogee. Marlene McLemore, Beverly Robertson, and also Marilyn James, who now lives in Grand Prairie and has lived there for some time. In fact, Marilyn was up a couple of days ago, and she'll be back on Christmas Eve just before it starts snowing, I think. I think she's timed that just right. But Beverly is who I'm going to talk about right now. Actually, I'm not going to do this. I found a tape of my mother talking about how I dealt with Santa Claus and how Beverly dealt with Santa Claus. I think you might find it interesting.
And I want to tell you about the times when we were, when Virgil ever went to service, when the Santa Claus would come. Oh, that was so cute. Beverly was scared of Santa Claus. We'd go downtown, we'd see Santa Claus, and she was scared to death of him, and she'd want to run. She'd just turn loose my hand, and she'd start running, and get away. She didn't want to see Santa Claus. And Jared always wanted to go sit in his lap, want to talk to him, and all these things, you know. So we would, one time J.W. said, well, I'm coming over there, and I'm going to get Beverly so she won't be scared of Santa Claus. And he had Santa Claus suit on, and he's going to play Santa Claus. So he came in, and Beverly went under the bed, and she wouldn't come out. I'm telling you, she stayed under there, and we bagged and bagged, and we caught a hold of her, and she screamed, no, and she would not come out. So then the next night or two, Mr. Cole from the next door, he came over, and he said, I want to come over tomorrow night. I'm going to wear my face. I want to be Santa Claus. I said, well, oh, it's okay. So he came over and he knocked on the door and he had his face on like Santa Claus, you know. And he said, ho, 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 and Beverly heard that. She went in the closet and closed the door. She wouldn't come out. She didn't want to see him. And generally what Jerry did, Beverly would do. But that time, Jerry liked Santa Claus pretty good and he wasn't that afraid. But not Beverly. She did not want no part of seeing Santa Claus. And Jerry would say, he just won't bring you nothing if you don't like him. You have to talk to him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I don't want Santa Claus. And anyway, we had fun at Christmas thinking about Santa Claus. And when Santa Claus would come and they'd get all their toys, and they always got a whole lot of stuff, well, they would say, this, you can play with this. I play with this. And they'd say, we'll put this up. And Jerry would say, I'll put this up. I'll what this would be now. And we'd say, why? And he'd say, play with that when Daddy comes home. And he was the only one who seemed to understand it. Unless she tells him. Can she get it?
And that's back in the war. And I do remember my dad coming home right after Christmas in 1945. In his uniform, he'd been in the Pacific. He said he entered the United States, came underneath the Golden Gate Bridge Christmas Day morning. That had to be a happy time. Well, this will be the first Christmas that my dad and mom will be together since 1988 when he passed away on Christmas morning. People have always asked me why Beverly was afraid of Santa Claus. I think it's because of his beard.
I want to meet Santa Claus, a real, real Santa. I want to meet Santa Claus, a real, real Santa. I want to see Santa Claus, a real, real Santa. He wants to meet old Santa Claus. Really, really sad.
be a real Santa. He's helping Santa Claus to be a real Santa. He's just helping Santa Claus to be a real Santa. He's just helping Santa Claus. He's just helping Santa Claus to be a real Santa. He's just helping Santa Claus to be a real Santa. He's helping Santa Claus.
In case you're wondering who J.W. was, that's my cousin who lives down in Texas. Christmas, time for a Christmas kiss. Gather around, folks. Merry Christmas. Let's play this selection by Jimmy Boyd. I think he was 12 years old when he recorded this.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Tim Crawford, his family, and everyone at UFOTV.com would like to take this opportunity to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Holiday greetings to you from everyone at UFOTV.com.
Happy Holidays.
I have no gift to bring, but rum-a-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-
Things we have in common about Christmas, all of us. Christmas is full of dreams. Dreams of wonderful times with family and friends. A musical Christmas card to you from the Jerry Pippin Show. This is Roger Williams. Christmas greeting to you from Marvin Mason,
the Indiana Jones of Grand Canyon Tour.
Marvelous Marv Tours offers Personality Plus, escorted tours to the most scenic place on earth. Click the banner for Marv and find out how you can create memories that will last a lifetime. Merry Christmas from Marvelous Marv Grand Canyon Tour.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
golden years of radio, Grand Central Station was one of those anthology series, a dramatic show talking about people passing through the famous railroad terminal with their personal lives and their personal stories told on the radio. Mason Williams, who was in Pepper Young's Family, a soap opera in the 40s and 50s on radio, appeared 9 years in a row in a Christmas special, a classic, really, for Grand Central Station. It became a tradition. Listen now as we listen to the story of Miracle on Christmas, broadcast December 24th, 1949.
Now, for the sixth consecutive year, Pillsbury Mills of Minneapolis presents with pride Grand Central Station's traditional Christmas play, a drama you will long remember. After the train from Albany pulled in, no one, not a single person, actually saw the young man with soft brown hair and soft brown eyes come through the gate. Still unseen, he walks the length of the great waiting room, now strangely tranquil as travel ebbs on Christmas Eve. Quietly, he goes out the door, down the street, and then up the broad marble stairs of the hospital. When the girl at the switchboard turns to him...
What can I do for you, sir?
Without saying a word, he gives her a card. She's startled by the name on it and instantly announces him to the hospital superintendent.
Dr. Mason is here to see you.
Mason? Dr. Mason who applied for an internship?
Yes, Dr. Garrett, it is Dr. Mason from Albany.
But that's impossible.
Shall I ask him about the telegram?
No, I'll do it. Send him in, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Garrett will see you, sir. First door to the left.
Dr. Garrett. Dr. Mason? You are Dr. Mason?
I'm sorry that I was delayed, Dr. Garrett.
But just 10 minutes ago, I...
Yes. 10 minutes ago, you received a telegram.
Why, that's right.
I know.
From your mother.
I know.
But, man, I... Why, look at it. It says that you...
That I was killed. Do you mind if I tear up that telegram, Dr. Garrett?
Well, I don't understand. I was so unnerved by that wire. I counted so much on your being here tonight. Christmas Eve. A night always busy with calls.
You are short of interns.
Oh, yes. Mason, these are the slums. Walk through block after block and you won't see a doctor shingle. Not one. The people here are too poor. They know only one healer. The intern and his ambulance.
And tonight, night of mercy and goodwill, they would have cried out in vain.
Well, now that you've come, I won't have to say to the suffering, wait, wait. There's only one ambulance tonight, and that's out on a call. Wait and suffer. I have no one to send to you because Dr. Mason was killed.
It's good that you're here, Mason. It's good.
It's good to be here, Dr. Garrett.
Well, you better get started. Take this slip down to the storeroom. See that they give you a warm sheepskin coat.
Thank you.
And a pair of mittens. From there, you go to the ambulance room. I'll have your driver waiting for you. His name is Mac.
My name is Mac. The chief says I drive your crate tonight.
Crate?
Crate, jalopy, sick buggy, ambulance, take your pick.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You green interns, you're all the same. The first time you spy an ambulance, your eyes pop wide like you've seen a heavenly chariot or something.
An ambulance, Mac, is a sacred thing. It is a chariot of mercy.
Uh-oh, two bells, that says. Come on, Mason, that's your first call.
234 South Street. 234 South Street. 234 South Street.
Look, pal, help me out by watching out for cars cutting in at the cross streets. We don't stop for no red lights. Look, Doc, what did I tell you? Watch it or we'll both be killed. Holy cow, you old new intern. You're all alike. You're always dreaming. You put on a white coat and pants and your head goes up in the clouds.
Why are you so bitter, Mac?
Why shouldn't I be bitter? If it wasn't for you, I'd be home with the wife right now.
You truly believe that only because of me...
Yeah. If you hadn't showed up, this ambulance would be parked in the garage, for crying out loud. I would have had the night off like on a decent job.
To you, driving an ambulance is just a job like any other?
Yeah, nothing but.
Boy, will I be glad when the shift is over.
But, Mac, this is Christmas Eve.
You're telling me.
This is one night at least you could forget that driving an ambulance is a job. This one night you could look upon it as an errand of mercy.
An errand of mercy? You know where we're going?
To help someone afflicted.
Afflicted? Afflicted with alcohol, you mean? I'll give you 2-1 and we're making a stew call.
Stew call?
Yeah, mate. We're risking our necks tearing through traffic to give some drunk a whiff of smelling salts.
Any man who cries out for help, whether he be brimful of drink or empty of blood, his call shall be answered.
Yes, says you. Okay. Come on, mate. Make it snap quick. I don't like it. What did I tell you? No good truck. Here's your bag, Doc.
Thank you, Mac. I won't need it.
But he's out cold, Mason. Come on. Give him a whiff of the stuff quick and we blow.
Quiet, Mac. Come now. Open your eyes, sir.
He calls the drunk, sir. Look, Mason, here's the spirit of ammonia. Hold it under his nose, will you? That always wakes him up.
Quiet, Mac. Come, sir. Open your eyes.
That's right, Mason. You just talk pretty to him and he'll open his eyes.
Where am I? Why is everybody laughing? What's the matter?
Nothing. Just put your arm around my shoulder. That's it now. Let me help you to stand up straight. There. Now. You feel better?
Why, suddenly, I feel all right.
Of course. All you needed was to stand on your own 2 feet. To be strong.
That's your wonderful medicine you give me.
Medicine? What kind of gag you pulling? He didn't give you no medicine. There was nothing the matter with you. You toss off a beer and you lay down in the street like you're out cold and we waste an ambulance on you. I got a mind to take a poke at you.
That'll be enough, Mac. Tell me, sir, what is your name?
Well, if it's all the same to you...
Come on. Give me your name. He's got to make out his report.
Pete Lantin, doctor.
Peter, you won't lose faith again. You will stand up, self-reliant, and you will face life courageously and with new hope.
Come on, Mason. We ain't got all night. Let's get going.
Doc.
Yes, Peter?
A Merry Christmas to you, Doc.
Thank you, sir.
Let's pause for a moment. We'll return to Mason Adams in Miracle for Christmas right after these messages.
Radio Spirits, the world's leading source for old-time radio shows, is thrilled to bring you unbelievable savings on one of their most popular series ever. Through this special radio offer, you can own the fastest-selling collection ever produced by Radio Spirits, Walter Cronkite's 60 Greatest Old-Time Radio Shows of the 20th Century. Regularly priced at $59.98, yours for only $29.98 plus shipping and handling. You'll get the funniest episodes of Burns and Allen, Charlie McCarthy, and Abbott and Costello. The scariest episodes of Escape and Lights Out. The most thrilling episodes of X-1, The Shadow, Dragnet, and more. 60 digitally remastered and uncut radio episodes in all. A full 30 hours of programming on 20 90-minute cassettes housed in the collector's case, along with a 64-page booklet detailing each show and its history. Call 1-800-95-RADIO right now, and you can get it for half price. Only $29.98 plus shipping and handling. That's 1-800-957-2346. 1-800-95-RADIO. That's 1-800-957-2346. But wait, there's more. Call now, and you'll also receive an hour-long cassette of Suspense, radio's longest-running mystery series, free. So don't delay. Call right now and receive Walter Cronkite's 60 Greatest Old-Time Radio Shows of the 20th Century, plus a free hour-long cassette of Suspense. This entire package is worth $66.96, but it's yours for just $29.98 plus $6.95 shipping and handling. This offer may not last, so call right now. 1-800-95-RADIO. That's 1-800-957-2346. Or visit whenradiowas.com. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Have your credit card handy and call 1-800-95-RADIO. That's 1-800-957-2346. Or visit whenradiowas.com. Call now.
I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm actually quitting smoking for good this time. I'm using Nicorette on a regular schedule to help prevent cravings. And every now and then, when I really want a cigarette, like when I'm stuck in rush hour traffic, I take an extra piece to help stay in control. Over time, I'll use less and less Nicorette. And after 12 weeks, I'm done. I can do this.
You can do it. Nicorette can help. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Oh, don't mince words, man. Which was it?
It was the best of times, wasn't it?
Why is that?
I had immediate claim service.
Right.
Right.
Immediate claim service to get you back on the road fast, and you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
Now let's return to Grand Central Station's annual Christmas presentation starring Mason Adams.
Dr. Mason! Dr. Mason, I'd like to speak to you.
Yes?
Mason, Mac tells me you didn't even open your bag on your first call.
No, it wasn't necessary.
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Mason. I can't begin to tell you how thankful I am that you're with us this evening, but...
But from now on, I'm not to use suggestion.
Or whatever it was you did use. Please follow standard materia medica in treating your cases. You're not offended.
Of course not.
Oh, that's fine, Dr. Mason. That's your call again.
Water Street, third floor. 19 Water Street, third floor. 19 Water Street, third floor.
Well, Mac, you seem to be good at guessing. You were right the last time. What sort of call is this one going to be?
There's no guessing, it's experience. This time it's no drunk.
Oh, what do you think it is?
A bite, or maybe a death.
Christmas Eve, and someone is to live or die. It is better that one should live on Christmas Eve. Mac, let it be a birth we're going to.
It's no difference to me, Doc, a birth or a death. I just try.
How long have you been doing it, Mac?
Ah, oh, like I told you, 8 rotten years, that's how long.
What you call 8 rotten years were truly 8 glorious years, filled with service to your fellow men.
Cut the chatter, Mason. This is it. Number 19 is Red Brick House upstairs.
Doctor! Doctor, here! Up here!
Keep your shirt on, we're coming.
Even if you hurry. Doctor.
Tears on Christmas Eve, young man.
I'm afraid you're too late.
You thought it'd be a point. You're wrong, Mason. It sure looks
Wait,
like...
Wait, Mac. Don't say it. No, no. Perhaps we're not too late. Tell me, how is the mother?
She's all right. But our baby.
Yes, your baby.
Crippled. Terribly crippled. We prayed for our child to be born on Christmas Eve. We thought we'd be so happy tonight.
Come now, come. No tears, not on Christmas Eve. I'll have a look at the infant. Wait here, boy.
Make it snappy, Mason. That Garrett's always nervous when all the ambulances are out. Hey, what's the idea of bringing a kid out here?
Oh, let me hold him, Doctor. Please.
Of course. There you are. Ah, the child knows his father.
Yes. He knows me. He knows me. But he'll hate me when he's old enough to realize it. Doctor.
Yes?
His arms. His arms.
What about the kid's arms?
They're straight. Straight as arrows.
So what?
But before they were terribly twisted. Both his arms were terribly crippled.
You can see for yourself the child is normal.
But I tell you, before when I looked at... I swear they were twisted. And now...
You were under great tension. Perhaps your imagination...
Yes. Oh, my little son. Aren't his tiny fingers so tiny?
And now go in and tell your wife truthfully that her baby is normal in every way. Show her.
Yes. Yes.
You both look forward to a happy Christmas Eve. It is. Remember, tears are not for Christmas Eve.
Hey. Ah, come on, Mason. Forget all that good fairy stuff. This fella's hopped up enough as is. Let's go.
Yes, Mac.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes?
Merry Christmas, Doctor.
Thank you. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Mason! Dr. Mason!
Yes, Dr. Garrett, you've been looking for
me? Yes, sir.
471 Oh, Street.
Only one bell. Go on, Dr. Garrett.
Well, I must speak to you, Mason, about the telegram.
Yes?
The telegram which said that Dr. Mason was killed. The one you said was a mistake.
Did I, Dr. Garrett?
I've just spoken to the sender of that telegram. I have just finished talking to Dr. Mason's mother on the long-distance telephone.
That's my call. I'm sorry, I must go, Dr.
Now, wait, man, I want to talk to you.
Street.
Listen to me, please. Dr. Mason was killed, do you hear? 3 hours before you walked into my office, he was killed while driving to the Albany Railroad Station. And his mother saw him die.
Well, Mac, what is this call going to be? A birth or a death?
I don't know, Mason, but I don't like this one. There's something about this call. Give me a funny chill all of a sudden.
Because it's in your neighborhood?
Ah. What do you think this call is going to be?
Because it is your wife.
Holly.
Is this job a rotten job, Mac? Now that you can rush a doctor to her side? Is this ambulance still a crate? Now that it's speeding to answer your own wife's cry of pain?
Stop that kind of talk, will you? You're trying to make me think something's happened, Ellie. I ain't afraid. I'll say it again. Yeah, driving this crate is still a job and a bum one at that.
And the 8 years?
Rotten years. Wasted years. Could have had my own garage and repair business. I'd be in the chips today instead of...
Yes, you would have made more money.
Instead of risking my neck driving all night, twisting in and out of elk pillars, skidding on slippery car tracks.
Why, Mac? Why did you do it?
How many times I gotta tell you that nothing in this whole cockeyed world could have kept me sitting back of this wheel except my wife. If it wasn't for Ellie,
what's the matter, Mac?
Nothing, I guess. That house we just passed, that was ours. And the lights are out.
Is that unusual?
No. It just means Ellie ain't home. She's probably gone out of the corners for it, the drugstore. Yeah, Ellie walks the dog there every night about this time. And...
Yes, Mac?
The call we're going to is that drugstore.
Yes, Mac.
Mason, you got a hunch what it is? Tell me what it is.
It is not a birth, Mac.
Let me through! Let me through! I got it! Ellie! Ellie! It's Ellie! Mason, do something! You gotta do something! Please! Please!
We will take her to the hospital, Mac. Let's get ready. The next call will be ours.
812 East River Road.
Yes, you heard. The other ambulance just went out.
Are you crazy? My wife is upstairs in the operating room, and you expect me to leave the hospital? To go out and drive?
There are people who need us, Mac. Our work tonight is not yet finished.
But Ellie needs me. What do I care about other people?
There are people, Mac, who will cry out for help. As your wife did. We will answer.
Not me. I ain't moving.
It is Christmas Eve, Mac.
Christmas Eve. What a Christmas present I got.
64 West Street.
It's our turn, Mac.
64 West Street.
All right, Mason.
64
but this is
West
my last
Street.
Trip for the night. No, not for the night. Forever. I'm through, do you hear? All washed up. For good.
I'm terribly sorry, Mac. We did the best that we could.
Dying? Ellie's dying? And I...
She asked for you, Mac. Just once. It was while you were out on that West Street call. Then she lapsed into coma.
Ellie? Ellie? Isn't there a chance, Doc Garrett?
I doubt it.
While I'm out with the crate, my wife calls for me, and now she's unconscious. Think of others. Think of others, he said, because it's Christmas Eve. What do you got to say now, Mason? You took me from her. You made me go out and drive that rotten ambulance while she...
You went to help others, to bring aid to the suffering.
A lot of consolation, that is.
Remember how the old woman blessed you, with tears in her eyes.
Oh, I can't think of nothing. But Ellie's gone. You with your big ideas and your fine speeches. What do you know about sorrow and suffering?
All that there is to know, my son.
Just now when you said that for a second, you got old. You look more than a 1,000 years old. I must be seeing things on account Ellie is leaving me, and I'm crazy. Crazy with grief and sorrow.
Grief and sorrow for you. Yet how much you did to relieve others of that pain.
It's funny, Mason, but...
Yes, Mac?
When you said those words, I thought of my 8 years, the 8 rotten years, and they didn't seem so bad, not anymore. Now I kind of like them.
Sorrow worketh repentance. You should, Mac. You should glory in them. 8 years of bringing a healer to the suffering. 8 years of rushing the torn and the smashed to the hands of the mender.
Yeah. Your words, they just take the pain right out of me. They just draw it out.
Now that your work for this night is finished, Mac, I will walk home with you.
Go home? While Elliot...
Yes.
Okay, if you say so, Mason. But for the life of me, I don't know why I'd take your word.
What a break. What a rotten break I got on Christmas Eve.
You love her a great deal, don't you?
Yeah.
Soon, it will be midnight.
A Merry Christmas.
How did she greet you each night when you returned from your driving?
How did Ellie greet... Why you ask that, Mason?
Tell me, Mac. I want you to say it.
Well, she...
Tell me.
She'd like a happy, anxious kid. She'd go out and put on a porch light. Didn't matter even if the weather was terrible. I used to boil her out for it. Tell her she'd catch pneumonia. But she'd always put on a porch light and stand outside there waiting for...
Waiting for her shining knight returning from his errands of mercy.
As soon as she'd see me come around the next corner, she'd call to me.
And now, will you continue your driving?
I'm sticking to it, Mason. Even though Ellie won't be around, I'm sticking.
This is your corner.
Yeah.
Look to your house, my son.
The light? A porch light, it's on. Mason! Your eyes! Mason! Mason! Where are you?
Look to your house, my son.
It can't be!
Mac!
It's Ellie! Ellie, darling, it is you!
Mac!
Thank God! Thank God! And forgive me, I did not know who you were.
Christmas miracle. It's a good idea, especially in these times. On behalf of everyone who helps make JerryPippin.com and all our other associated websites successful, we want to take this time to wish you a very Merry Christmas.